Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk radio station, as you always are on Fridays here, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. Welcome. We're going to have a great show, as always, today. And because it is nearing Valentine's Day, I thought it would be a good time to bring back one of my favorite guests who I've had on a little over a couple of months ago, actually, and we're going to be talking about him and to him about his book, and also his emphasis on healthy relationships, which I think you really should hang on and listen to. And of course, you can download and replay the show in the archives after we're off the air here live. But if you can hang in there and listen to the full show live, you're going to get all the action, all the information you need to have healthy, happier relationships in your life. How's that? Well, I can't completely promise that to you, but you're going to have a good start for your Friday and your weekend. How about that? So today we're talking about finding and keeping healthy, happy relationships. And I mentioned one of my favorite On the Couch guests has said the following about relationships. In its ideal form, relationships are a creative, evolving, and beautifully raw experience in which two folks craft their particular way of communicating with each other. Cultivating the relationship is an art that requires sensitivity to the complexity and nuances of two souls engaged in this most important endeavor. This deep fundamental change in how we view relationship flows once again from altering how we see uncertainty. Two people committed to their process of becoming can create the opportunity for a joyful partnering when they approach each other from an evolving and participatory perspective. And we're going to talk about exactly what that means. And that is the quote from the gentleman who I am interviewing today. I'm having him back on the show again because he's one of my faves. It's Mel Schwartz. Yeah, he's a psychotherapist, marriage counselor, speaker, a leading voice in the personal transformation field. He's been a private practice for more than 20 years in Connecticut and Manhattan. And, of course, a regular contributor to Psychology Today. He has a brand new TED Talk out. You got to see it. It's amazing. Overcoming Anxiety and Depression. And also, we're going to give you a free gift today on the show. All you have to do is email Mel Schwartz. And we're going to be talking about his book, The Possibility Principle, How Quantum Physics Can Improve the Way You Think, Live, and Love. And, of course, we're going to have the emphasis on relationships today because, you know, like I said, Valentine's Day is coming up pretty soon. And I think it's time that you might sort of get yourself into the good place in your mind. Whether you're in a relationship or not, it's going to help you a lot. Hey, Mel, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Boy, that was quite an introduction. You made me blush just a little bit.
Well, thank you. And I'm so happy I could do that. So it's good to have you, as always. Such a great guest. And as I mentioned last time, a couple of months ago when I had you on the show, your latest book, The Possibility Principle, How Quantum Physics Can Improve the Way You Think, Live, and Love, is a winner. And it's a comfortable read, folks out there. Helps you out with your perspective and just general health, mentally and physically, of course, because the two are interrelated. So if you would like to call in, guys, Let me give you the number here live on the air if you have any questions or comments. 323-203-0815. Los Angeles zip. Los Angeles area. 90025 right here. 323-203-0815. We'd love to hear from you if you want to call in. Or if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, go ahead, email us. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. So, hey, Mel, you know, your book's, like I said, excellent. And it's really about how we can incorporate that science of quantum physics that we're all kind of reading about and interested in into our own lives. But you put it into a self-help book. So can you talk a little bit about these concepts? And then we're going to get into relationship issues and how people can have healthier, you know, partnering or just healthier self-esteem, things like that. So how did these concepts help you to help others create their lives?
Well, firstly, I'll begin by saying I am not a scientist.
Yeah.
I was at best a C student in science. So it has nothing to do with the deep science or the math. I look at the principles of quantum physics, which shockingly show us that reality is altogether nothing like what we think it is. And it's to our benefit when we open to these new messages. So one of the principles of quantum physics is known by different names. I call it inseparability. In scientific parlance, they call it non-locality.
Yeah.
What it means is this. No matter what we may think and believe, reality is actually one indivisible, inseparable whole. It's very similar to what we may have read about or heard from Eastern mystical traditions and differing philosophies.
Okay.
Now, this is counterintuitive. We may wonder, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, imagine that you took your hand and you took your five fingers and you're at the beach and you put your five fingers in the sand.
Okay.
And you walked away and you see five little holes in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
You see them as separate from each other, distinct and separate.
Right.
You don't realize that those five fingers that put the holes in there are all part of the same hand.
Mm.
Well, there was a great debate, and I'm not going to go into the details because we don't have time, but a great debate raged for years around this concept of inseparability. Einstein was on one part of the debate, and he argued that there was a causal link between things, that there was a separation.
Hmm.
And the other great physicist, Niels Bohr, said, no, there's none.
Right.
And finally, after decades, the technology was available to test the thesis, and Einstein lost and continues to lose. The debate was around what are called photons. They're light particles. And when they are in a shared state, that's called entangled.
Yes.
And the debate was, if we separate them by a great distance, what will happen? The photons have opposite spins. One spins negative, one spins positive.
Yeah.
Both scientists agreed if you change the spin of one, the other will alter its spin because they're always in opposition.
Yes.
But the question was, how long would it take to send a signal? Imagine this separated by half a universe. Well, Einstein said, well, we can calculate the time based upon the speed of light. Niels Bohr said, no time, no signal. There is one. There's no separation.
Wow.
And he was correct.
Wow.
Now, what we find, that entanglement, exists not only in quantum physics, it exists on our level as well.
Yeah.
So an example I use in the book is this. Suppose, let's picture there are twins.
Okay.
She lives in San Francisco, he lives in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
She falls in the shower and breaks her ankle.
Okay.
At that very moment, he feels the pain in his ankle.
Right.
Now, some skeptics would say, well, they have shared DNA.
Right.
But these kind of things happen even when we're not twins.
Mm.
The reality of the universe, again, as non-rational as it sounds, is it is one inseparable whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does this impact us in our relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we tend, after the thrill of love regrettably falls away, and we'll get into that because it doesn't have to.
Oh.
The belief that eros and passion has to die is a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we'll just kick that down the road for a few minutes.
We'll kick it down, okay.
Now, this entanglement that I'm talking about, what does it do? If everything is as one, that means operating from empathy, compassion, makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Because if I can care for the other, if I can be unselfish and give to the other and tune into their needs, this must come back to my benefit. See, we tend to operate in our culture in a very competitive, individualistic way.
Sure.
Kind of me first.
Sure.
When I work with couples, it's as though I'm not going to be the one to change. You change first. And we get stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Picture that you're there's a couple off in a rowboat.
Right.
And they're in the middle of a giant lake and too far to get to shore. And there's a leak. It springs a hole and it's taking on water.
Right.
They both need to bail the water to survive.
Sure.
But one says to the other, oh, I didn't do it. You bailed the water.
Yep.
But you both go under. That's what happens in relationships.
Yeah,
so I use these principles of inseparability to help create a new method for communication and empathy and compassion. Now, there's another principle in quantum physics, which is called the uncertainty principle.
Right. That's right.
Reality is not predictable and certain as we think it is.
Really, Mel?
And that's good.
Doggone it. That really upsets me.
Now, but I'm going to tell you why it's good news, Michelle.
Oh, okay.
Uncertainty equals possibility.
Okay, true. Uncertainty
equals potential. I just gave a TEDx talk, which you mentioned, in which I teach people how to overcome anxiety. Because our needing to know the future in advance.
Exactly.
Which is unknowable.
We want that control.
Fear and anxiety.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Now, coming back to relationship. Oscar Wilde said uncertainty is the essence of romance.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, there's some truth to that. But what happens in a relationship? Once we secure the relationship and the conquest is over, it gets predictable.
Yes.
If you know where and when you're going to make love on schedule and the routine is fixed, then passion does die. It gets a little boring, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes we have to pick those days because we're all so busy, aren't we? But you're right.
Yes, but,
you're right.
But that needs to be spontaneous.
Yes, it does.
Not
I agree.
Planned. And now uncertainty also is when we get to know each other so well, we lose curiosity.
Right.
We lose wonder. We finish each other's sentences.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Cut each other off. Uncertainty, that sense of wonder, is deeply engaging and is a bedrock of a healthy relationship.
Yes.
So uncertainty and inseparability are the principles.
Yes.
And from there in my book, I then break it down into the actual techniques and methods that we can use to prosper in our relationships.
Yeah, you sure do. And it's really, I love this relationship part of your book as well, because it is so helpful to people, you know, using the quantum physics kind of principles and applying them to human relationships. And by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, one of my favorites, Mel Schwartz. He wrote a book, and we talked about it a couple of months ago. It's still thriving and doing really well, and it's very important for you to read. It will absolutely help you out with finding your place in the world and also in your relationships and just generally getting, you know, a handle on feeling better. You know, the book is called The Possibility Principle, How Quantum Physics Can Improve the Way You Think, Live, and Love. And also we're going to offer something special today. Mel is going to ask you, if you can email him, you're going to get something free. And what would that be, Mel?
Well, a number of years ago, I gave a talk which ran just over an hour, and it was called The Power of Mind. And it was a forerunner to my work that created this book.
Yeah.
So I have a link, a downloadable DVD, and I am offering to your listeners today, if they would like a copy for free, it's my Valentine's gift.
Oh.
Just send an email to me at mel@melschwartz.com. That's MelschWartz.
Okay, that's mel@melschwartz.com. Got it. All right. And it is terrific, by the way, The Power of Mind. It will empower you and, you know, just something that you can listen to bring you up and give you strength and understand who we really all are and what we have within us. So check it out. Also, you've got the TED Talk coming up, right? It's Overcoming Anxiety.
Well, the TED Talk is out.
It's now available. Okay.
You can go to my website, melschwartz.com, and it's right there in a number of places. Or you Google it on YouTube and just Mel Schwartz TEDx. And it's a quick talk. It's 9 minutes where I share the framework for how to overcome anxiety. Now, anxiety, of course, impacts our relationships.
Oh, sure.
Many people who come to me to assist them in overcoming anxiety. And by the way, I'm not proposing managing anxiety medicating it.
Okay.
I believe my experience is we can overcome it. See, anxiety has to do with our relationship with our thoughts.
Sure.
And once we learn to change that relationship, we can overcome it.
Yeah, it's so true. And it takes time. It takes a little bit of work. But, you know, it's a repetition and rehearsal and working with those thoughts. I love that. That's great, Mel. And we're going to be telling you again about that a little bit later in the show and how you can find out more about Mel and his book on his website, melschwartz.com. So let us jump into this topic of relationships since, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. We all celebrate that. Don't quite know exactly where it originated. The 3rd century in Rome, apparently. So what we're doing is celebrating love, or we try to. And many of my patients come in to see me, Mel, I'm sure they do the same with you. And they talk about what makes people fall in love with each other. I want to fall in love. So what I really enjoyed reading about in your book was that you described it as the energetic interchange that happens between people, which makes them fall in love. We can't really nail it down, can we, to a system or a formula, right?
Nor if we could nail it down to a formula, it wouldn't be falling in love.
Yeah,
it's something that we can't quantify. Mm. But it's kind of like the quantum entanglement that I spoke of before, where two separate individuals resonate on a certain shared level.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is to not lose your individual self, but there's something new that gets created. And that's an us, where each individual is also now part of this union. Now, that falling in love gives off endorphins.
Yes.
And it's quite a high.
Yep.
The question is, how can we sustain it?
Right. Exactly.
And I believe that if we were simply taught in school the ins and outs of effective emotional intimacy, intellectual communication around these topics, we would. Many years ago, I was giving a talk at some organization, and my talk was, when you're dating, don't put your best foot forward. People were surprised. They said, what do you mean?
What is that?
Well, if you put your best foot forward, you're not revealing parts of yourself you think the other person would not be happy with or judge, which is why months or years into the relationship, one person says to the other, you're not who I thought you were.
Right.
Well, how could you be if we're only... So I believe in just the opposite.
Yeah,
I believe that I will put my true self forward, not worry about how you'll judge me, because that wouldn't be authentic self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic self-esteem is, this is who I am.
Right.
Hope you like me. So
right.
One of the reasons that we retreat from falling in love is inevitably if we've been hiding parts of ourselves.
Sure.
Then it disrupts the relationship.
Right.
Another piece is we start to deprioritize the relationship.
Right.
Where when we're falling in love, you're the center of my universe.
Mm-hmm.
But again, after the conquest is made, do I spend the same time and effort and energy in trying to sustain our relationship?
Right.
Another fundamental issue here is the way we communicate.
Boy, is that true.
Going back to quantum physics, if the universe is inseparable and undividable, then there is no such thing as objectivity. because objectivity requires my ability to stand apart and judge something that's separate from me, but nothing separate.
Okay.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
For this reason. In a relationship, we've all experienced an adversarial or hostile communication. We are speaking objectively.
Right.
You say to the other person,
right.
You are such and such.
Right, exactly.
Or you
right.
say, I am. Look at those words.
Oh, yeah.
Are, am. Oh. Objective statements. And when you have something that you really want to share, it's senseless to say it in a way where the other person is already refuting you and disagreeing.
Right.
We have to be thoughtful.
Of course.
So if you're feeling hurt or
yes.
upset or you have something you want to share,
right.
you need to foam the runway, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
Just like a plane that's coming in hot,
uh-huh.
you smooth it out.
Yeah.
So you foam the runway and you do it this way. You say, you know, I've been thinking about something. I want to talk to you about it, but I'm feeling tentative. I'm afraid you're going to be reactive. That's preparing the conversation.
Yes.
Then the other person will say, no, I won't be.
Yeah,
let me
exactly.
hear.
Sure.
Then you move into it, but you move into it speaking subjectively.
Right.
Start your sentences with the word I.
Mm-hmm.
I feel.
Yeah.
If I say I feel, you can't tell me I'm wrong.
Right.
It's what I feel. I didn't say you are. You can say I'm not.
Right.
I
right.
feel. This is how I feel. I feel unloved.
Yes.
I feel devalued. Speak in feeling terms. Embrace your vulnerability. So many people are taught to don't act vulnerably. Act strong.
Right.
Acting strong is acting.
Mm-hmm.
Being comfortable being vulnerable is strong. Mm-hmm. Because it means you're not worried how you're going to be judged. You're
yes.
being true to yourself.
Gosh.
So these are just some brief
yeah.
methods
yeah.
as to how to move into communication differently.
Oh, those are beautiful. No, I love it, Mel. Really appreciate some of those ideas here. And it's going to help a lot of people, especially, you know, if they're planning on having a romantic Valentine's Day possibly coming up or, you know, thinking about getting into a relationship. And, you know, what you mentioned about when actually we try to first meet people, we get into a relationship, we are putting our best foot forward. And I really agree with you, but I know you hear this as well from patients who come in to see you, that they are on good behavior or they want to appear like they're, you know, pretty healthy, great, interesting people when they're first starting to date. And then, you know, and then they kind of let some of those boundaries down and they feel a little more comfortable. But then they fear rejection, you know, in the long run, because what happens is if we appear falsely in the beginning or however long we choose to do that,
yes.
then when we're getting to know each other a lot more, you know, a lot of that phoniness, I don't want to say phoniness, but sort of those facades sort of break down. And then we have to, you know, sort of deal with being rejected or fearing rejection, because we really should start out being who we are and being okay with it, actually.
And so then ultimately, yeah. my relationship with someone else is a mirror of my relationship with myself.
Exactly.
So if I'm going to act authentically mm-hmm. and without fear, then that can spill over into a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
The fear of judgment
mm-hmm.
is, if we look at it, I'm fond of saying the only person who can judge me works in the courthouse and wears long black robes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else as opinions.
Right.
But if I elevate someone else's opinion to a judgment,
yep.
I'm doing that.
Yeah,
because I'm
sure.
judging myself and then giving them the power.
Yeah.
And that's when we start to deceive each other and not
yes.
to be honest.
Exactly.
So it's important to understand that you're judging yourself.
Yeah.
The others can't judge you. They don't have that power.
Exactly. Really good point, Mel. In case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest here, Mel Schwartz. He's written a terrific book. We've talked about it in the past, and I'm bringing it up today because it's really fascinating. It's a self-help book, really comfortable read. The Possibility Principle, How Quantum Physics Can Improve the Way You Think, Live, and Love. And Mel, by the way, is an LCSW, psychotherapist, marriage counselor, speaker, and a leading voice in the personal transformation field. Mel's been in private practice for more than 20 years, And, of course, he's a regular contributor to Psychology Today. His latest TED Talk is out about overcoming anxiety and depression. It's excellent. And also, we're giving away, Mel is giving away to you, a special gift of a, I would say lecture. It's not necessarily a lecture, but it's a talk you did about the power of our minds. And if you email Mel at mel@melschwartz.com, you can get a free copy. He'll send it out to you guys here. Great gift. And that's a nice Valentine's gift for everybody, too. Help you out with your relationships. And understanding who you are, guys, within yourself, girls. Speaking about being the best you can be for a relationship, Mel, how do we manage our low self-esteem that we have acquired over the years from, you know, all the sources that you and I have shared endlessly with patients about their early upbringing and the messages that were negative that they've embraced about themselves? How do we overcome some of those negative messages that, you know, we have bought
well,
into?
I think we begin by asking ourselves what our core beliefs are about ourselves.
All right.
So negative core beliefs run the gamut. They can be, I'm not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smart enough. I'm not smart enough. People don't like me. I'm always underachieving.
Yep.
We have core beliefs. Ask yourself, how did I come to that belief?
Yeah.
And then how do I know it's true?
Right.
You see, if I believe it, it scripts how I live my life.
Yes,
it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
But you may find a reason why you have those beliefs. It may be something you heard, something that was said to you in your childhood from a parent, a teacher, or a friend. It may have been innocent, or it may have been traumatic. But it starts to confine and define who you are.
Yeah.
But it's just a belief. It was just an exchange or an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be who you've always been.
Right.
You can refocus yourself and say, well, what if I let go of that belief?
Right.
What if I let go of the millions of thoughts that I have that keep telling me I fall short, I'm not good enough? You see, the self-replication of our thoughts is why we struggle to change. This is a major theme that I address in my book.
Yes.
In the book, I say something like this. The most important relationship you will ever have is not with your parents, your children, your spouse, your lover. The relationship that will impact you far more than any other relationship is with your thoughts. They are your constant companion. They can be your ally or your nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
But you can learn, and I teach the reader how to actually see your thought and choose whether to become that thought or not. It's a very powerful experience.
It really
because
is.
When you can see your thought, that's what I call thinking.
Yes, exactly. You can see your thought, and you allow tools for people to, you know, use in your book to understand how to make those things slowly fade away and sort of refocus on more positive thoughts about who you really are. It's the power of the mind, as you talk about, you know, in your discussion.
Yes, instead of asking, who am I? I wrote an article many years ago called Who Am I? And I was just floored to see how many people read it.
Yes.
Perhaps 400,000 or 500,000.
Wow.
Because people ask, who am I? And I propose in that article, that's the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I suggests that there's a fixed, specific answer.
Right.
Instead, you should ask yourself, how would I like to experience my life?
Yes.
See, that's forward moving. That's unfolding.
It is.
That's freeing.
That's exactly right. It is freeing. And it's, you know, if you can perceive and create and change your thoughts, your life will change indeed. And we've talked about this a lot on the show as well. So, guys, if you want to email me, we have a few questions coming in here from listeners at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I'll get to those in just a little bit. A lot of these are regarding relationship issues, which we're talking about today with Mel Schwartz. Something that you wrote about in your book that I found really fascinating was you talking about our relationships being the catalysts, okay, for our process of becoming versus being. Now, I always encourage patients that I work with to seek out, you know, people and grow along the way. But before they really get into a real serious relationship, to try to really work on themselves first. You know, so they are more genuine, so they're okay with who they are and all that. And I guess we can't prevent from getting into relationships while we're going through our own issues and stuff. But you say that relationships are catalysts for becoming. So can you explain a little bit more about that and why it's a good
thing? Sure.
Yeah.
So first, what I'm referring to is there's a chapter in my book called From Being to Becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of ourselves in a fixed state of being, like a human being.
Yeah.
But I'd like to engage the process of becoming. Mm. My life should be always becoming in movement. I have never worked with a couple whereby I don't see a beautiful opportunity for their individual growth through the demands of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When one
right.
person is struggling with something or growing in some way,
yeah.
that catalyzes their partner to have an opportunity for their growth as well.
Right.
It's it acts sometimes in a very paradoxical way. So a relationship itself should not be stagnant,
mm-hmm.
should not be fixed.
Yeah.
The relationship itself has to be alive and vibrant, so it's not operating inside of a container.
Right.
Because when it
right.
does operate that way,
mm-hmm.
it stagnates.
Yeah,
it moves backwards, and then, by the way, passion does
right.
die.
Yeah, it really
but
does.
But when a relationship is an opportunity for us to provoke each other, and provoke not in an adversarial way,
okay,
but to spur each other on
mm-hmm.
to growth, and to not again, this requires embracing uncertainty,
right?
Because we are coming out of predictability.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It always feels so comfortable to know, though, how this relationship
yeah,
is going
well,
to go. Will I always stay with this person? Are they going to change too much? Are they going to, you know, fall for someone else on social media or whatever? You know, it's very uncertain and scary.
Well, all true.
Yeah.
But the best we can do is to develop the most authentic, genuine, respectful, evolving relationship we can.
Yep.
You can't guarantee the future,
nope.
but your best chance of success for that future is to focus inwardly, not externally.
Right, right. And therefore, it's really not healthy to be dependent, per se, on someone. You know, how you and I would define dependent, as in there's a dependent personality disorder, even.
Years ago, I kind of constructed some categories,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I wrote an article called "Are You Dependent, Independent, or Autonomous?"
You're right.
I see these different category types coming
right.
from the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, if you find a person who's dependent, they tend to be partnered with an independent person.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you can imagine where the conflicts and the difficulties play out in that mm-hmm. relationship.
Absolutely.
The goal is to be what I call autonomous. Autonomous means I am good with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a loving relationship, but I'm not afraid of being alone.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
If you put two autonomous people together, they can really thrive in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. And you do have a really great several pages on the concept of being an autonomous individual, you know, which does create a healthy balance in a relationship, which is, you know, really helpful for people to read. And that's all we have is ourselves, and being aware of who we are and being okay with that, and just allowing organically the relationship to grow or not, and being okay with it, you know.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So you write about how we sometimes lose sight of the fact that, and we were just sort of briefly talking about this, but you know, our own predispositions, how we feel about ourselves, our assumptions that are not necessarily true, have an effect in creating the reality of our relationship. So what are some of the things that we should probably be aware of and be a little bit more cautious about within ourselves before we, I guess, and I just, you know, I'm going to be, you know, use the word, projecting our own stuff onto other people.
So So similar to what I was discussing before about understanding your beliefs about yourself,
yeah,
is to get in touch with your predispositions,
yeah,
your filters. For example, somebody may have a predisposition of, people always take advantage of me.
Yeah.
Well, they're not seeing their role in why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That's part of what I mean by a filter. A filter could be, I'm not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
Or a filter can be, I'm a caretaker.
Oh, yeah.
I am a people pleaser. Get in touch with your own filter, how you orient yourself.
Right.
Then understand that a relationship, again, is not an objective reality. There are two people participating in constructing the storyline of your life together. That's what I call a participatory relationship.
Right.
We live in a participatory universe. In other words, the truth is not out there separate from me.
Mm-hmm.
I have in some way participated in how you're feeling and how you're seeing me and your attitudes about me. I'm in the mix there.
Exactly.
And again, that comes back to that notion of oneness and entanglement.
Yes.
It's kind of like if you drop some ink into a beaker of water, ultimately the ink diffuses throughout the water.
You
can't separate it out.
Sure.
That's true in relationship too. Try to come out of the dichotomy of you and the other as separate individuals.
Yes.
You're not.
Oh, no. It's so true. It is so true. We're not, you know. But again, a lot of people carry their own perceptions of who they are, and they're not necessarily very positive into that relationship. And, you know, if they have those belief systems, the other person is going to actually feel that, participate in it. And in a way, we are creating our own, you know, negative perception and demise
and
of the relationship.
The way to suspend that and for your own growth is to understand and ask the other, how do you see me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, if I can say, how do you see me? If that's more important to me for the moment than how I see me, just for the moment, doesn't mean you should give up how you see yourself.
Yeah.
But I want to understand, how am I affecting you?
Yes.
How are you seeing me?
Correct.
I need to add that into the mix.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. Guys, here you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest here. Mel Schwartz. We're talking about his book, The Possibility Principle. It's a good one. And also, you guys, he's going to be giving you a talk that he did a little while back. It's called The Power of Mind for free. It's a gift here on the couch. All you have to do is email him to request it. And it's mel@melschwartz.com. It's The Power of Mind. It's a wonderful talk that you give, Mel, helping folks, you know, understand their empowerment and how strong we are, how we can create more positive lives. His TED Talk is also out, Overcoming Anxiety and Depression. Check it out. Yeah, it's sort of a framework on how to overcome anxiety. It's a real good one. We'll help you out. And we do have some emails coming in. I want to address a couple of those things. And, you know, here, can we just sort of take a run at this one, Mel? Are you cool with
Absolutely.
All right.
We always can.
Yes, we do, don't we? And you're good. This comes from Alexis. She said, hey, guys, love the topic of the show today. I am in my 30s and still looking for love. I do a lot of online dating, and I was wondering how Mel might suggest that I do this in a healthy way because a lot of it affects my self-esteem. Interesting.
Well, Alexis, I'd say, firstly, self-esteem is how you feel about yourself.
Mm.
Don't confuse self-esteem with what I call other esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Other esteem is what you think someone else thinks of you. So let's separate it out. Authentic self-esteem, and I've written many articles on this, are your relationship with self. That said, I often find that people get stuck around what they put in their profile for online dating.
Right.
I am an advocate of putting your true self forward. I got divorced 20-some-odd years ago, mm-hmm. and online dating had just started. And I lived in a little town. There weren't many opportunities for me to meet women.
Sure.
And so I went on Match.com just when it had started.
Right.
And I put a clear description of who I think I am and what I'm looking for.
Right.
And I remember a woman wrote to me, and she said, boy, you sound all full of yourself.
Oh,
and I wrote back to her, and I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't go after this like a popularity contest. I'm not looking for a lot of responses. I want to let you know who I think I am and what I'm looking for. So, you see, self-esteem mm-hmm. means I don't need a lot of responses. The other thing in terms of your bio, your profile, Alexis, is put your true self forward.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to share the things about yourself that you may not want the other to know. That's putting the best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Be authentic, because if you want to fall in love, that other person needs to fall in love with who you really are.
Right.
Not who you're pretending to be or clouding who you are. To be able to be available to truly fall in love, you need to put your true self forward.
Yes. Beautiful. I love that. And hopefully, Alexis, that'll help you out a little bit. You can pick up Mel's book as well and check out the relationship section. Be your true self, girl. The possibility principle. It's a good one. We have another email here. Jonathan has written that he's been hurt by a lot of women. They have not been good for him in the past. How can he decipher if someone is going to be loving and good for him in the future in a relationship?
All right. Well, Jonathan, I'd ask you to think about whether you're choosing women, uh-huh. perhaps unconsciously,
okay.
who are going to hurt you or not be good for you, but actually to move a little deeper in and ask yourself, what do you mean by hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Does hurt mean that you were interested in them and they weren't interested in you?
Oh.
Does hurt mean that they weren't honest with you or cheated on you? It's important for us not to protect ourselves
yep.
from hurt
right.
and vulnerability, because the only way to really thrive in a relationship is to be vulnerable and available. Again, that's what I mean by true
sure,
self.
Sure.
So it's a very complex question, Jonathan, and I'm not going to be fraudulent and give you a quick fix answer, because we don't know each other, and I
yeah.
really have to delve into it.
Right.
But reflect on what you mean by hurt.
Yes.
And did you participate in that in some way?
Super. That's a great answer, Mel. And when you talk about choosing, you know, the wrong women unconsciously, can you talk about that a little bit more? Because I don't think a lot of people understand why, you know, why they would do that or where this comes from. What is that
mm-hmm.
about?
Well, the key there is unconscious. Mm-hmm. We're not aware of it.
Right.
So sometimes we tend to replicate childhood experiences.
Uh-huh.
I'm just making this up.
Yep.
So let's suppose that yeah. that Jonathan's parents, for example,
mm-hmm.
That his mom wasn't really happy with his father,
mm-hmm.
but was loyal and faithful and stayed married and was
oh.
perhaps dependent upon him.
Okay.
And so she was resentful or angry.
Okay.
And somehow Jonathan saw this dynamic occurring between his parents. And without knowing it, he went out and started to replicate a similar dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So to become aware of our unconscious behavior, we need to look at our mm-hmm. choices. So if you're choosing a woman or partner who time and time again you're feeling hurt, then you have to ask yourself, what is the quality in her that I was choosing not to see? And what was it that was attracting me to her?
Right.
Take your own responsibility for your end of the relationship. Why are you choosing women like this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saying, I didn't know, that may speak to the fact that your communication early on didn't run deep enough. It is so important to mm-hmm. ask each other deep,
yes.
important questions right up front.
Yep.
Don't be shy. Share your life stories with each other.
Yes, I think that's beautiful as well. We have to do that. And we learn a lot about other people too. And you sort of, you know, can look for signs if you're beginning to get into a relationship, Jonathan, right? You can look for certain signs that might indicate that someone else is not sort of on your level of commitment or a growth, self-growth or whatever. And that may, you know, you can learn some red flags as to, you know, somebody who might not be great and feeling ready for a relationship. Is that right, Mel? Don't you believe that?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're all human, and we all feel fragile in certain ways and weak in different ways. And it's important not to hide that from each other.
Right. Exactly. So what do you think are some of the most problematic issues with online dating in this day and age? Because this is, many of my patients are young adults. They're professionals. They're out there in the world. It's very difficult for them to meet socially, even in a city like Los Angeles. I mean, you know, it's so spread apart, and there are small communities because it is a chore to get from one place to the other. So what are some of the suggestions that you would give to people to have healthier online dating?
Again, I'll go back to the theme of reveal your true self, mm-hmm. which is the core of self-esteem.
Yeah.
Which, don't play games.
Yeah.
People write books and give lectures on the art form of dating, which often is about the rules of dating and playing games.
Yeah.
The only rule I would subscribe to is throw away that rule book. We need to be sincere, mm-hmm. authentic people, revealing ourselves to each other,
yeah.
to really be able to ascertain, could we potentially be a good fit for each other?
Right.
So,
right.
And also to get in touch with what your own prejudices and biases are.
Mm-hmm.
And you may decide that they're okay and you want to keep them. But there you need to make yourself more aware of it. Why am I attracted to a certain kind of person?
Mm-hmm.
And consider, does that benefit me?
Right.
Does mm-hmm. that suit me?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the history of my relationship patterns?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I get disappointed? Where do I feel hurt? Do I become angry? Do I become passive? What are the things I need to do? In my counseling of individuals who are dating, I find very often with women,
mm-hmm.
and I am generalizing, which is always an error to generalize.
That's all right. You can generalize.
But, you know, most of my clients are women.
Yeah.
And it's not having the fortitude or the courage to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So often I'll hear, well, you know, it was only a second date. Do I have the right to ask a question like that?
Yeah.
The right? You have the necessity. If somebody doesn't want to reveal something, they'll tell you so.
Sure.
And
hopefully.
And maybe that's a reason not to continue.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That really does. Excellent advice to help people out. Because, I mean, what I also see is so many people are so picky. And I blame a lot of it on social media because we have these, you know, certain perfectionistic things that we need to live up to, you know, being very successful and really good looking. And, you know, all these people are so quick to, you know, swipe left. Instead of encouraging.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you need to ask yourself,
yeah.
do I want to be with someone who has emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
Do I want to be with someone who can nurture me and care how I feel, even when it's in opposition to how they feel? Those are the measure of a relationship is not how good is it when it's good.
Yeah.
The measure of a relationship is, how are we with each other when we don't see eye to eye?
Yeah.
Do we have the ability to communicate respectfully, even if we're feeling hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Do we resolve differences?
Right.
Can we honor and respect each other, even though we're upset with each other?
Yep.
Those are the foundations. Communication is the heartbeat of relationship.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautifully pointed out in your book, The Possibility Principle. How quantum physics can improve the way you think, live, and love. And Mel, it's that time again. It's gone so quickly. We have to go bye-bye.
Yes, it has.
It's always great having you on the show, and thank you so much for your wisdom and your professional suggestions to everybody listening. And again, if you would like to check out Mel, get his book. It's Mel Schwartz, SCHWARTZ.com, MelSchwartz.com. Check out his new TED Talk, Overcoming Anxiety and Depression. And also, you can get his free talk, just about an hour long, called The Power of Mind. If you go ahead and email him, you can find him at Mel@MelSchwartz.com. All right, many blessings to you, my friend. Stay warm.
And the same to you. Be well, Michelle.
You too now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. That's it for your help today. I'm sorry. It always goes so quickly when I have Mel on the show, unfortunately. I want to just get as much information as I can from him and help you out. But you can do that by checking out his book, The Possibility Principle. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. Dr. Michelle here. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for other people. That's the way it works in the world. I'll be back next Friday, 11 a.m. here Pacific Standard Time, to help you out with some of your issues and go from there. Thanks for listening, guys. Take good care now. Bye-bye. Fires, 1,000 watts of sound.